ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
We are edging towards the festive period, and that means a time of reflection. Sport is no different. Maybe your team won this year. Maybe they were dreadful. Maybe your favourite player finally did the thing. Maybe they left to play for a rival team and it broke your heart. Well, over five episodes, we're counting down what we saw as the biggest 20 Australian sports stories of 2025. And these lists are fraught. I'm sure you'll have moments where you're silently screaming at me for my clear and present bias against your team or for or against a certain athlete. So some ground rules or a framework for you to understand how we got to our list and the order. They need to be Australian stories. No Rory McIlroy at Augusta. No Luka Doncic being traded to the Lakers. Australians, we are trying to be bigger than this team won a title stories. Stories that really captured the Australian imagination. And finally, did you consume the issues we're talking about? Whether it was on this podcast feed or the ABC Sport website or our social channels, those three things have guided us on this process. And hey, if you're really angry, you can probably find me on the internet. I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily. Okay, before we hit number 20, a few honourable mentions. Bryce Cotton leaving Perth and then shocking the NBL by heading to the Adelaide 36ers. Tony Jones and his kind of odd feud with Novak Djokovic at the Australian Open. Radio jock Marty Sheargold picking an odd fight with Australia's most beloved team, the Matildas. The decline to Tim Zhu and his bad loss to Sebastian Fundora. All big stories, couldn't squeeze them in. Here we go. At number 20, we're starting with a team that has kind of been borderline irrelevant for a decade, which might sound a bit odd, but that's the point. The Wallabies return to relevance. And subsequent stumble, it's been a rolling conversation all year. Off the back of the manic leadership of Eddie Jones, Joe Schmidt has brought a different coaching vibe, stability. Like dating a normie after a volatile partner, Schmidt has made boring fun. Not that it's been all positive for Rugby Australia. Head office watched on in horror as the British and Irish Lions sewed up a historic series win over the Men in Gold inside two games. The pivotal moment coming in the 79th minute in front of 90,000 fans at the MCG as Hugo Keenan scored the match winner.
Numbers for the Lions, and the series sealing try is scored on the left edge. Hugo Keenan of Ireland has won the test, has won the series in the last minute at the G for the British and Irish Lions.
Many thought Jack Morgan had illegally made contact with the head of Carlo Tozzano at the breakdown, but referee Andrea Piardi saw it otherwise.
We don't see any foul play. Try stand.
Try stands.
Wallabies legend Morgan Turinui summed up the vibes of many in his commentary.
That decision is 100% completely wrong. The referee got it wrong. His two assistant referees got it wrong. The TMO got it wrong. Joel Jutsch, the head of the referees, is out here on a junket. He needs to haul those referees in and ask for a please explain. If I'm the World Rugby Board that are here, if I'm Dan Herbert, the chair of Australian Rugby, if I'm Phil Waugh, the CEO of Australian Rugby, I'm asking for a please explain. He did have a good game, but the refereeing group, when it counted, got the match-defining decision completely wrong.
Piardi may be becoming the most unpopular Italian since Fabian Grosso suckered Lucas Neal and the Socceroos back in 06. And yet the injustice lit a fire under the Australians. They restored pride with a bruising victory in Sydney.
It's the end of the Test match and Australia has claimed a morale-boosting victory in the final leg of this dramatic series.
The best still to come too. A 60-plus year drought ended in South Africa against the world champion Box.
Tom Wright gets away from a couple. Tom Wright with Wilson on his right. Harry Wilson going for his second. Harry Wilson, go on Big H! Go on Big H! Get it down! The Wallabies are in front! The Wallabies are in front!
But the worst was to come also. They won twice again for the rest of the year. The Australians finished their European tour without a win. The first time they'd done that since 1958. Their story in 2025, a rise to relevance, but a fall back to mediocrity. It's delicately poised for 2026. Nothing mediocre about our number 19, Nicola Olli-Slagers. The high jumper went soaring to even higher heights, which I guess is kind of the point. 28-year-old victorious with the world indoor title in March, clearing 1.97 metres.
Now, Olli-Slagers, if she goes clear at the first time of asking, she will take the lead because it will be four from four. She's looked brilliant today so far and still does. Back-to-back golds in Glasgow and Nanjing. Olli-Slagers is the world indoor champion again.
Then the minister from Gosford backed up that effort with gold at the World Champs in Tokyo in the pouring rain, the same venue where she had taken silver at the Olympic Games in 2021.
Far at the magical 2 metres in the women's high jump, Nicola Olli-Slagers is jumping first, so she'll be first to have a go, put the pressure on everyone else, and that's just what the Australian does. And a glorious gold for Nicola Olli-Slagers.
Now, Olli-Slagers is not shy about her beliefs and spoke about the hosing downpour feeling like a kind of religious experience.
Every time that I was jumping, it was just worship. I was like, let's go. And so even if waiting and out there in the rain, I have such a joy because I know, like, these moments are for... These moments are forever. Like, the gold medal was the added bonus, but being out there and enjoying it, I'll never forget what I just experienced.
To underscore how strong she was, Olli-Slagers awarded the honour for Best Field Athlete by World Athletics this year. The male winner, the otherworldly Mondo Duplantis. That kind of explains or speaks to the scale of the achievement. Not bad for a woman who dreamed of kicking ass while she was waiting tables back in the day.
In that back of the cafe, I would dream. I'd dream about the places where I would try and compete if I could, you know, Monaco Diamonds League and things. And I would dream about what I would say to people if I could ever reach that level. And in that time, it took a lot of belief to even think about that. But even if it was invisible to the world, it felt like I had something special.
Only one Aussie woman has ever won that award previously, Sally Pearson. Rare air indeed. Number 18. It's great to win awards. Competitions, medals, it's even sweeter when you go back to back. And in AFL and AFLW, it was the year of back-to-backs. In the men's comp, the Lions looked absolutely finished in the first week of the finals, comprehensively thumped by Geelong. And they were dealt a further blow when Lachie Neale pinged his calf. He appeared finished for the season. And yet, 22 days later, they dragged themselves off the canvas to vanquish those same Cats. And with questions over his health, Neale was injected into a deadlocked grand final at halftime. He was mighty in the middle.
Working in the direction of O'Sullivan, trying to get it back. Instead, to Smith, stolen by Zorko. On towards Neale. Neale, here he goes. No problem with the calf there. And he thumps it through from 50.
He was not best of field, though. Will Ashcroft, even better. Back-to-back Norm Smith medals. He's just 21 years old. That's scary. Back-to-back flags is one thing. How about consecutive undefeated seasons? That was the story of the AFLW and the North Melbourne Kangaroos.
And there's the siren. They came, they saw, they conquered.
Funnily enough, the team actually banned the phrase back-to-back until they had the cup in their keeping. There are so many threads in this victory. Ruse veteran Emma Carney, who told her friends that if she was ever playing in her mid to late 30s, beg her to retire. Well, she just claimed flag number 3, age 36. Ash Riddell, the winner of the AFLW Best and Fairest, who had previously been passed over in 2 straight drafts by the entire competition before the Kangaroos finally picked her up. She had the added adversity of overcoming her partner's bad post-match analysis.
You got me back into football and, gosh, you annoy me when you try and give me tips on how to play the game. When all you ever played was rugby and you're the worst football player. But you still think you're a better football player than me, but whatever. You just stick to doing our gym programs and telling people off.
Isla Sheeran going from Newtown in Sydney to Richmond to North Melbourne and a best of field in a victorious grand final. Back-to-back titles over bitter rivals, the Brisbane Lions. If the rest of the comp wants to get on the Kangas level, they're going to need to take a jump. Number 17 in our final story today is about a player who quit playing AFL nearly a decade ago. But when Mitch Brown revealed his sexuality in August, he made history, becoming the AFL's first openly bisexual past or present player.
I played in the AFL for 10 years for the West Coast Eagles, and I'm a bisexual man.
The timing was huge from the former West Coast player. At a moment where the AFL had been grappling with homophobic slurs over a two-season span, headlined by Isaac Rankin, the ex-Eagle sought to make a stand for others who were trying to walk his path. In many ways, it's a moment of immense hope for the queer community, but Brown's story also comes with some confronting details. A person who felt scared and ostracised and ultimately left the sport before he physically felt finished.
You know, I got to the end of my career and I was asked to play on for a couple more years and I was over it. I was done.
Like Ian Roberts in rugby league, Josh Cavallo in soccer, Brown became a lightning rod for support, yeah, but sadly, for some of the darker elements of the community, he was a space to tip in hate.
Well, it's funny because as soon as I called out those clubs, that's when I started to get the hate, actually. Right. So, you know, a lot of those people that were maybe uncomfortable with me in the first place held back, and then they saw an opportunity there to then hate on me for another reason, not just, you know, my sexuality.
The AFL CEO, Andrew Dillon, and Brown's old club, West Coast, among those who spoke of how proud they were of the 36-year-old, but maybe the praise that would resonate most deeply with him came via his ex-partner and the mother of his two sons, who spoke about how proud they were as a family.
She sent me a text message actually this morning, and I'd like to share it. It says, "Good luck this morning. I'm so proud of you and right behind you all the way. This will make the world a slightly better place for our boys and young men in Australia. Hopefully old men too. This is living the values of the kind of man I want our boys to grow up to be. Men that care and are proud of who they are."
That was part one of our top 20 Australian sports stories of 2025. We have 16 to go and some absolute crackers on the books. Hope to see you next time. I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily, produced by Poppy Penny. Thanks to Stan Sport, World Athletics, SBS, Fox Sports and The Daily Oz for the extra audio used in this episode.
Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.